Welcome to English Through History. If you enjoy the content, then please subscribe or leave a comment. It helps us to create more content and is appreciated by our small team here. We hope you enjoy today's episode. The Japanese occupation of Korea from 1910 to 1945 was a period of colonial rule that had profound and lasting effects on the Korean Peninsula. The roots of this occupation can be traced back to Japan's increasing militarization and expansionism during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. At the time, Korea was under the Joseon Dynasty, a kingdom that had been weakened by internal strife, corruption, and external pressures from imperial powers such as China, Russia, and indeed Japan. In previous episodes, we have covered the Joseon Dynasty, and it's worth revisiting those to get an idea of the issues of the time. But for the purpose of this episode, we'll be talking about the end of that era, a time in Korea that was unusually difficult, allowing the Japanese to both invade and occupy. On the Japanese side, they were riding high on victories. Japan's victory in the First Sino-Japanese War and the Russo-Japanese War allowed it to assert dominance over the Korean Peninsula, leading to the eventual annexation of Korea in 1910. This marked the beginning of 35 years of harsh colonial rule. Japan formalized its control over Korea with the Japan-Korea Annexation Treaty of 1910, signed under duress and widely regarded as illegitimate by modern historians. Emperor Sejong of Korea was forced to abdicate, and the country was stripped of its sovereignty. Korea became a colony of the Japanese Empire, governed directly by a Japanese-appointed governor-general based in Seoul. As a side note, if you wondered how the Japanese managed to gain enough traction for such a bold move, well, the answer was slowly. The Japanese saw the weakened Joseon rulers and began to move troops across and force protectorate status on Korea in 1905. This rendered the Koreans without autonomy. Importantly, they also managed to negotiate with the Americans an agreement that the US would not interfere if they acknowledged the Philippines as US territory. The Europeans had no interest anyway in Korea, so the Japanese had no international opposition. The first phase of the Japanese rule was characterized by repressive military governance. Under the Governor General, the Japanese imposed strict controls on Korean society. Political organizations were banned, dissent was met with harsh reprisals, and public gatherings were prohibited. Japan sought to suppress Korean identity, banning the teaching of the Korean language and history in schools while promoting Japanese language and culture. Land surveys conducted by Japan often resulted in the confiscation of Korean land, which would be redistributed to Japanese settlers or companies. Many Korean farmers became tenant farmers, losing ownership of their ancestral lands. It was the repression during this period that bred resentment amongst Koreans, leading to one of the most significant uprisings of the annexation and indeed Korean history. On March 1st, 1919, a nationwide movement for Korean independence erupted, sparked by the publication of a Declaration of Independence signed by prominent Korean leaders. Inspired by US President Woodrow Wilson's principle of self-determination after World War I, the movement called for Korea's liberation from Japanese rule. The movement quickly spread across the peninsula, involving millions of Koreans in peaceful protests and demonstrations. The Japanese authorities responded with brutal force, killing thousands of protesters and imprisoning tens of thousands. Despite its failure to achieve independence, the March 1st movement galvanized the Korean resistance and attracted international attention. After the March 1st movement, Japan adopted a slightly less repressive strategy known as the Cultural Rule Policy to appease the Korean population. While some restrictions were eased, the fundamental colonial structure remained intact. Japan invested in railways and ports and industries in Korea to support its imperial ambitions. However, these developments primarily benefited Japanese settlers and the empire while exploiting Korean labor and resources. Limited education opportunities were provided for Koreans, but the curriculum emphasized loyalty to Japan and suppressed Korean identity. Korean newspapers, literature, and art were heavily censored. Korean culture was marginalized, while Japanese culture and Shinto religion were promoted. It was during this period that underground resistance movements and cultural preservation efforts persisted. Some Koreans sought refuge in China, Manchuria, and the Soviet Union, where they organized independence movements and guerrilla forces. As Japan expanded its empire and became embroiled in the Second Sino-Japanese War in 1937 and later World War II, its control over Korea became even more exploitative and oppressive. These included forced assimilation policies, in which Koreans were required to adopt Japanese names and renounce their Korean heritage. Shinto worship was made compulsory, further erasing traditional Korean practices and religions. Koreans were conscripted into forced labor to support Japan's war effort. They worked in mines, factories, and construction projects under brutal conditions. Agricultural output was redirected to Japan, and this caused food shortages in the Korean Peninsula. Starting in the 1940s, Korean men were forcibly conscripted into the Japanese military. Korean women, euphemistically known as comfort women, were coerced into sexual slavery to serve Japanese soldiers in military brothels. This remains one of the darkest and most contentious aspects of Japanese colonial rule. Throughout the occupation, Korean resistance took various forms. Groups like the Korean Provisional Government, the KPG, established in Shanghai in 1919, and guerrilla fighters like Kim Il-sung's communist forces in Manchuria waged armed resistance against Japanese rule. Intellectuals and artists worked to preserve Korean culture through clandestine education, literature, and art. Exiled leaders lobbied for international support, particularly in the United States and China. The Japanese occupation ended with Japan's defeat in World War II in 1945. Korea was liberated by Allied powers, but this liberation came with complications. The Korean Peninsula was divided along the 38th parallel, with Soviet forces occupying the north and US forces occupying the south. This division, meant to be temporary, solidified into the separate states of North Korea and South Korea in 1948. The Korean economy was in shambles after decades of exploitation, and the social fabric was deeply scarred by the trauma of colonial rule. The legacy of Japanese occupation is still felt in modern Korea. The occupation intensified Korean nationalism and the determination to preserve Korean culture and independence. Japan's industrialization efforts laid the groundwork for Korea's post-war economic development, though it was achieved through exploitation. The issue of comfort women remains a major source of tension between Korea and Japan. Disputes over apologies and reparations continue to strain diplomatic relations even up to the current date. The colonial legacy, coupled with Cold War geopolitics, can be said to have contributed to the division of Korea, which also persists to this day. The Japanese occupation of Korea was a period of immense suffering and loss, but it also fosters resilience and a strong sense of identity amongst Koreans. Despite decades of oppression, the Korean people preserved their culture and continued to fight for independence. The scars of this period remain visible in the historical, political, and cultural landscape of both Koreas, influencing their relationship with Japan and with the broader international community.